Hey guys, Sklar Brothers here with Daniel Van Kirk.
It's me.
And on a very special Dumb People Town this week, we have the great Lewis Black. Did you have fun in Dumb People Town, sir?
I had the greatest time I've ever had in my entire life.
See? That's not even a joke.
Yeah, no, I've genetically been altered.
That's right. We all have. We all have. Yes. First of all, we learned some lessons. You're not going to hire a Grinch for Christmas.
No.
That was a dumb idea.
No.
You're going to look down when looking for criminals in Riverside.
Sure.
And finally...
And the worst thing in the world is to look like another person. Trust me, Randy and I know, but we have a story that goes even worse. It's all with Lewis Black on this week's episode of Dumb People Town. Check it out.
Hey, stupid nerds. Download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
What's up, cowboy? What are you doing?
Big news.
Big news?
I made food from the recipe, Dave.
You made a food? What food did you make?
Ingredients and everything. I chopped, sautéed.
Talk to me.
I realized I was slumped in my chair so far down with the mic, I have to reposition my whole body. It's like laying in the chair with the mic pulled all the way down. I made some tortilla soup yesterday.
No way!
Yeah,
it's
and
my
it was,
favorite.
I'm sure nothing impressive, but I did it, and I'm very proud of myself, even though I fucked up some stuff.
Talk me through it. What'd you do?
But I wanted to tell you. You should be the first to know.
Uh-huh.
It was just, Rachel has a, it's like the New York Times recipe app, so just food for cucks, and food for libtards and cucks. If you're a cuck libtard, this is a delicious recipe for you. And no, it was just tortilla soup, and it was basic: chop an onion, chop an jalapeno, put those in the thing with some garlic.
Put
more garlic
in
than I called for.
You sautéed them.
Vegetable oil in the pot.
Okay.
Part I screwed up.
Uh huh.
This is my problem. When a thing gives you the ingredients at the top, I'm looking at my phone.
Uh-huh.
It'll give you the ingredients at the top and then the instructions at the bottom.
Yeah.
I look at the ingredient. This is where I don't know if I have like a lack of attentiveness, if it's a deficit disorder, as they would put it. And I'm just like, cool, onion, this, chop it, do this. And then just said, one can of 28 ounces of tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
Got it. And I dumped it in there. And then Rachel's like, this is pretty watery. Did you drain the tomatoes and crush them down? I'm like, no, because it was in the, that's what they told me to do in the ingredients. Tell me to do that in the instructions. That's an instruction. That's not an ingredient. So it was slightly soupier soup than it planned.
Well,
but,
it happens.
Yeah, it was nothing fancy. I didn't even do the make the homemade tortilla chip part. I'm like,
yeah.
too much.
Too much?
Baby steps. Yeah, I didn't even make tortillas for tortilla soup. I crunched up some chips I had here.
There you go.
Into it.
Okay.
So, but you know what? I did a thing, Dave, and it didn't taste like shit. So,
what was your base? Did you use water, vegetable stock? What'd you do?
Vegetable stock.
Vegetable stock. Okay.
Vegetable broth.
Okay.
And yeah, I used some volcanic peppers, spicy chili powder instead of the regular stuff.
Okay. Well, hell yeah.
You know
buddy.
What my new. I'll tell you what a favorite ingredient is around this household.
What's that?
The canned adobo chilies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Man, I take some of that sauce, throw it in my scrambled eggs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just give me that sauce, dude.
Yeah. It's intense. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, hell yeah,
that's
buddy.
It. I thought, you know, I finally made a thing. But I had to be in the mindset. Like I did a bike ride yesterday. I got kind of rad.
Uh-huh.
So I came home feeling accomplished already. So if I'm going to spend some time doing this other thing that might suck, I wouldn't be like, oh, here's the crowning achievement of my day. And I blew it. I'm like, no, I already did some sweet jumps. So,
okay. Right on, buddy.
So, yeah, man.
Here's a little tip. Next time, so you already made this first recipe, so you got your feet wet. You're familiar with the procedures.
I literally got my feet wet. It was a fucking mess.
Next time, maybe try doing all the same techniques you did with the sauteing the onions, the peppers, and the garlic, but also have a second batch that you roast and then puree. That way, you've got the roasted puree as kind of a flavor base, but then you've still got the sauteed version of all those vegetables for the crunch and the texture. So
okay.
Yeah, man. I was
putting like onions in there.
Soups and stews are really some of my favorite things to make because it really is, I don't know, it breaks it down. It makes it more simplistic in terms of just building the dish. And with soups and stews, you can really just focus on just layers of flavor. I'm just going to hit it from this angle and hit it from that angle and just, oh, man, I love soups and stews.
I learned the simmering thing because I'm tasting it. I'm like, this tastes watery. It's not good. It's like, yeah, you got to let it sit there for 20 minutes for all the flavors to mix and mingle.
Yeah, let them marry.
It's always a bad party when people first get there.
That's true.
You got to let them get to know each other. Have a few drinks.
Take some time. You got to bring it up to a boil and then bring it back down to a simmer. And, boy. Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought I was excited to share it with you.
That's awesome, buddy. Proud of you. What else going on? I want to hear about the heavy metal cruise.
Holy shit. Speaking of soups and stews, I was on a heavy metal cruise last weekend, Dave. Now that you mentioned soups and stews.
Look at these fucking soups and stews over here.
Oh, my God. Drowning pool. Okay, Dave. As you know, you were supposed to join me on the heavy metal cruise.
Uh-huh.
But you didn't have – I think one guy looked at my passport once.
Oh, really? I didn't even need it?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Didn't need it to get on and off the boat in Mexico. Like, one guy getting on the boat. And then people just didn't have it. They had birth certificates and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But my dear friend, Coach Fairbell himself, Andrew Orvidal, was with.
Awesome.
So I was trying to think of somebody that would like, not only like be fun to hang out with, but like also wouldn't be completely turned off by the music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he knows metal and stuff like that, so... Okay, so it's shiprocked. Happy to have gone there. Glad to be included. I only had two shows out of the 5 days. I think it left on a Thursday, came back on a Wednesday.
Okay.
Maybe. Or left on a Friday morning, came back on a Wednesday. First show was just a drunk guy. That I was like, all right, well, this is a great time to do crowd work because I'm like, the shows were all at like 11:30, where that one was at like midnight or something.
Uh-huh.
So everybody's been drinking on a cruise ship watching heavy metal all day. And I realized that I'm a component of someone else's vacation at this point. I'm not just like, you didn't just come out to see a comedy show. You came out to party on a cruise with heavy metal.
Yes.
And I'm just an accessory to that. So I couldn't get that mad.
Yeah.
If people were like drunk and partying in the audience, like I expected it.
Yeah, it's a little different dynamic than your typical show.
Yeah. So I was already prepared for that and like, well, cool, man. I'll do like, I don't do a lot of crowd work, but maybe this will be the time to do it. But this dude like wouldn't shut up to the point where everybody's like, fuck off already. And then there's not security there in terms of knowing how to deal with a comedy show. So eventually I think Andrew was like, somebody else was like, should we do something? Andrew's like, yeah, maybe go get this guy out. Cause even the people that he was with, like left the people he was sitting around. But so that was the first show. And it was like, well, fuck man. I would like to like win over new fans that maybe don't know who I am. But then this, the show, the last night we did a show and it was fun, but mostly I went hard in the paint on the ship rockers, and they were a good crew. I even threw the Dimebag Daryl joke in there just to show them, like, you think I care? How about this joke? And then people were like, woof. And I'm like, I told you it was bad, which I've said it, but let's go over some of these. Let's go over some of these jokes, Dave.
Yeah. Which one's the Dimebag Daryl joke? I think I remember it.
Oh, just about how I can't believe a guy who wanted us to call him Dimebag didn't live a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. They weren't happy about that one. I think I did. Did I joke about that? Like how I'm sure people there weren't afraid of COVID because they probably have gonorrhea from the original Ozfest. It's like, yeah, you guys have been hanging on to that like sourdough starter. That's what I put on
them. That's good.
What was I saying? A classic cruise bit of mine about how, like, you have to say you don't have diarrhea. I'm like, I love diet. I'm like, it's all buffet eating. I'm like, I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink 35 Coors Lights and then eat like a death row inmate. I will have diarrhea for the duration of this trip. I said the cruise is like a gathering of the juggalos with six more associate's degrees mixed in. I didn't realize this. The metalheads, that's who, like, I always wondered who bought men's Skechers. It's metalheads, Dave.
Really? Really? I never Skechers. Connected those two.
Yeah, huh. That's who's out there wearing metal, you know, and as I've called it, you know what other people call men's Skechers? Child molester Air Jordans. So go ahead and get yourself some transition lenses and introduce yourself to your neighbors as required by law. Said, if this boat sinks, who's going to mismanage all the Little Caesars franchises? If this boat sinks, don't worry. At least you'll know the kids are with the more responsible parent back on land. So this boat is like spring break for divorced cops and vape store owners. If this boat sinks, who's gonna sell Molly out of the back of the libertarian CrossFit gym? That was one. I said I knew how Manuel Noriega felt when the army was just playing heavy metal to get him out of their complex. like I like music, but like stop playing Mudvayne over the PA at 9 a.m. I'll surrender.
Oh, did they really do that?
Oh yeah. Ugh. It was just nonstop. 9 a.m. It was just metal through the speakers for the whole time. Yeah. Made fun of the roadies. Like, I know they're integral to a live event, but they can lose the first responder attitude.
Yeah, that's true. Oh my god,
it's a box of XLR cables. It's not plasma. Calm down.
Oh, I used to work with so many dickhead crew guys, and I get it. They're, you know, they have no patience for anybody who's not part of the operation. But Jesus Christ. Yeah. The worst is trying to deal with a sound man at a comedy show that's at a rock venue or music venue. Oh boy, I've done it all. I don't need to listen to you. I'm like, I'm giving you a specific, you know. Yeah. I used to have a sound cue here and there a long time ago. I'm like, and then sure enough, 50% of the time they'd fuck it up, and I'd go back after the show like, yeah, thanks for the fucking attitude and the incompetence.
I've always been good with it because they're usually happy it's a comedy show because it's mm-hmm. like, oh, thank God, I don't have to do like load and everything.
Yeah,
and
you'd think it's a night
I just
off
love place. That they're like, well, if we're not here, what's going to happen? I don't know. We're going to have to wait five more minutes to hear Five Finger Death Punch. I was joking how they always have a nickname that like the bass player from Queensryche gave them back in 89 and will tell you the story even though you don't. Yeah, they call me Danish. That's fine. They call me that because one time at Donington Monsters of Rock, there was these cheese Danishes backstage. And Tony from Bang Tango, you know Tony, he bet I wouldn't stuff my dick in one. All right. Okay, man.
Bang Tango.
Oh, man. I got the hair metal references going.
Oh my God!
So I think the bands like the comedy more than the people that were there, which was cool. A lot of the bands showed up for the comedy show. I think it's like, all right, we've seen enough music. Let's just see this. And Orvidal did great. Orvidal, I think, kind of upset people, but it was funny because like we went to Playa del Carmen and Cozumel, mm-hmm. but the cruise ships dock at like land that the cruise ship owns. See, we didn't go to Mexico. We just went to this walled-off shopping area with a Fat Tuesdays in it. And so Orvidal was like, which was your favorite outlet mall that we stopped at on this trip? And I think people were like, hey, we went to Mexico.
We paid a lot of money to be here.
Yeah, you went to a knick-knack shop next to a Zales Jewelers across from a Margaritaville.
Boy, that sounds fun.
But it was long for like not being able to escape the metal.
Yeah.
Cause it was everywhere on the boat. Mm. But I'm not necessarily a cruise guy. But if you're like, you just want to get there and you want to party, and it's like, you like going to, like when you vacation, you like going to a resort where the resort has everything, then I mm-hmm. could see that a cruise would be the kind of thing you like to do. I think this one might have been more money because of the bands. I don't know, but I think it's, you know, it's just, it's all encompassing. Like, boom, you're here. There's your food. There's your drink. There's your entertainment. There's nightlife. There's nightclubs. There's a casino, you know. There's miniature golf.
What was the average age of the cruiser?
It looked to be in the 30s.
30s, okay.
Yeah, it was definitely, it was this style of metal. And honestly, of all the bands, I'm like, oh, Lamb of God. I never even saw Lamb of God.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I think they were playing, like, they were kind of playing the same time we were, or the one night they were on at midnight, and I was already, it was a caveman Jurassic / Jurassic Park themed cruise. With it, so they had like fun theme nights, yeah, and so like the theme throughout everything was like, but then they had program movies in the room, and it was just on a loop. It was just Jurassic Park and Encino Man, so I just watched those a lot. Watched those movies a lot.
What your performance space, was it like an enclosed theater? Were you like on a deck?
Yeah, well, it was like a nightclub lounge. It was actually a great spot to do comedy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it worked out well, and it was, you know, it was dark and it was quiet. People had seats, and I think, like, when I've done comedy at Fest down in Florida, I think it is just, like I said, people are a little drunk, and there's a little bit of like, all right, some interaction, but it really, with the exception of that one dude, which I think I just gave him too much rope, you know, that... It was a good spot for comedy.
That's cool. Now, what about the booze situation? Was that all included, or did you have to pay for your drinks?
No, I was buying them. Oh, that was the other thing. So the main open deck area where the big pool would be is where they put the stage for the main bands.
Okay.
They all rotated, but it was like one indoor, big indoor theater, like almost amphitheater type thing.
Uh-huh.
And then this outdoor stage. And these dudes, the dudes working for the cruise, would come by, be like, you need a bucket. You'd be drinking a beer. And if you ordered one, it was every minute and a half, to the point where I know they have to. That's what I was joking about. I'm like, are you selling these buckets of beer because you know we need these buckets to bail out the life rafts because they don't work? It was so aggressive and so obnoxious to where I don't like being rude to people in that position. But to the point where they were coming by and I was like, fuck off. Like I was saying, fuck off to them.
Jeez.
Because they'd just be every minute and a half and you're sitting there just trying to watch a band. They'd stand in front of you, bucket, 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 and wouldn't even like, you would have to respond. You couldn't even be like a subtle, no thanks, no. Just standing there, buy a bucket, buy like.
Jesus. Like, yeah, that like would be the annoying.
Fucking, yeah, like. Like little kids with candy in a third world country when they just surround the car. Like, fuck off, man. I'm on this. Like, I was, that one rubbed me real raw where I was like, at the end, I was like, nope. Fuck. I'm like, fuck you. I wouldn't acknowledge their existence. Like, I had to get real rude about it. That was annoying.
Yeah, that sucks when you have to be rude to service people, but sometimes it happens.
Yeah, I was wondering if they like got points for how much they sold as individuals or something. Because like one guy would ask you, and then 20 seconds later, another dude would come by.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm trying to watch this band.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a terrible approach.
Yeah, it was a lot of like dudes that still dress. There's a lot of like jewelry and black hair dye.
Yeah, a lot of Hot Topic.
And very Hot Topic-y type of styles on a lot of the dudes. And it's this genre of metal that I'm not, like I said, it just felt like a cop at the gym kind of workout metal.
Yeah.
But people were there and people were loving it. And hey, you know what? That's your thing. I mean, I'll defend the Fest in Gainesville, but I'm sure an outsider looking at that thinks it's ridiculous. So
yeah,
I was invited to be there and The shows were fun. What, this band called the 68, though? Whew, I sent you some of their songs.
Dude, yeah, I'm digging them. I've listened to that whole album this weekend. Really good stuff.
Yeah, they're two of all these guys, like black hair dye, and there's some band called Avatar everybody was going crazy about.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really just, they were just kind of a bunch of dudes up there. They did great merchandising. They wore makeup and merchandise things. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wonder where I've seen that before in rock and roll. But it was, it didn't do much for me, but people were hyped on it. They definitely won the merch game.
Oh yeah.
But then they just kind of had, yeah, they just kind of had like a makeup Alice Cooper Kiss thing kind of going on. But it's fine. They put on a show, you know, they put on a big show.
Mm-hmm.
But that, yeah, the 68 came out there too. They just dressed like Mormons. Drum and guitar player with, I don't know how many effects pedals. Sounded like he was playing 12 different guitars at the same time.
Jeez.
And that was the heaviest band on that whole boat, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, I could see that.
So I'd say check them out.
I love a band like that. Years ago when I was in the metal scene in Atlanta, I used to run with this band called Miller's Tale. And anybody in Boston, I think the main guy, my buddy Rich Shurtenlieb, who I haven't seen in years, but I think he's a sports talk radio dude in Boston now. But he was in a band called Miller's Tale, and he was a super smart dude. He was Georgia Tech grad, like engineering student. And but yeah, this whole metal scene was just, you know, just imagine 1996 new metal. So every band's...
I can imagine it. I was just surrounded by it for five days.
So every band we'd go to see, or, you know, when I was working with the other bands that would tour with us or whatever, just all that, just that late 90s new metal vibe. But Miller's Tale, there was like four of them, and they all looked like Gap models. They all just looked like they got back from an Old Navy shopping spree. And everybody, you know, first impressions, you know, people would always be like, who are these fucking dorks? And they just go out there and just rip. They were... They were kind of, I mean, for lack of a better term, I'll be polite and say they were influenced by Melvins and Helmet and that kind of sound.
Okay.
But they looked like total dorks, and then they'd go out there and just fucking rip. And then, but just seeing people's attitudes change from that first impression of who are these dorks to holy shit, this rocks. But yeah, I love a band that's not too concerned with their image and just there to rip
it. Yeah. That happened with, like, punk music, too, like, before normcore was a thing, like, guys just showing up in, like, New Balances and light blue jeans. Just like, all right, I guess this band's going to plug in. And you're like, oh, this was the band of the night.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, the 68, they're from Atlanta. I guess they're a band called the Chariot.
Huh, no, unfamiliar.
And another band called Norma Jean.
Okay, yeah, I know of Norma Jean. I've listened to some of their stuff. They've been around for a while. Got their band name for Marilyn Monroe's real name, if I'm not mistaken.
That's the only Norma Jean I know of.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I read that that's where they get their name. But yeah.
Yeah. But man, great band. Go check them out, everybody.
Cool. Well, right on, buddy. One last question about the cruise. What was the food setup? Was it all buffet? How'd that work?
We got to go to the artist dining. So
breakfast
would be a buffet.
Okay.
And I get down there like earliest. I think I got down there at 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of veggie options for your boy. So a lot of fruit, scrambled eggs, piece of salmon.
There you go.
You know, wild combo. Again, like I said, eat like a death row inmate. And a chocolate cake and a cup of coffee and a Diet Pepsi. Then dinner, like, we got to order off a menu in the artist area.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, like, very decent pizza that was open all night for, like, the drunks. Mm. That was just free. Like, not quite Napoleon style. Napoleonic? Napoli? You know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, Dave. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I got this fried shrimp dish. I put a picture of it on my Instagram. Maybe you could tell me why. All the shrimp came out straight as an arrow. Why? That scared me. They tasted fine.
Sure, what makes shrimp? A shrimp?
You know what? That's not a thing I'd asked before.
Hmm.
What might it have been?
Maybe they put all the shrimp, they flattened them under a stack of books.
You sure it's shrimp? Oh, God. what a horrifying thought that I did not even like. Maybe it's not shrimp. Oh no! What could it be?
Would
they
fingers.
Scrape off the hull of this boat?
Yeah, I've never seen a straight shrimp. That's weird.
Which, if somebody just overheard this conversation thinking it's about sexuality, is hilarious to me.
Most
all shrimp
people
are gay as hell. Everybody yeah. knows that.
Most small guys are gay. Never seen a straight
yeah,
shrimp.
Yeah, he's a little fella. Mm-hmm. He's a shrimp top. That's what he is. He's a power shrimp.
Yeah, I've never experienced straight shrimp, dude. That's a little concerning.
Rachel's like, maybe because like when they put them on skewers, so they cook even. I'm like, there's no.
Yeah,
they
maybe.
Were all, it was like it, they were like, they look like mozzarella sticks with a little skirt on the end, a little crunchy skirt on the bottom.
Oh, boy.
I ate them, mm-hmm. but it was weird. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what it is, now I'm really confused. Like, if you don't even know why shrimp are just doing like they frightened them. Right away, they scared them and then they cooked them.
Scared them straight.
Yeah. Scared straight. God damn it. There's a joke. There it is.
All right. I know you're probably asking yourself, how do we make the most of our time here on Earth? How do we bring meaning to our life's work? And what is the best emoji to use when texting? These are the important questions asked on the weekly interview podcast, Life is Short, with Justin Long. Justin chats with celebrities, actors, musicians, artists, and more about how they get the most out of life. Recent guests include comedian Rob Riggle and singer Amy Mann. He digs deep, and each episode goes beyond what you've expected to hear on an interview show. And in an all-new episode, Justin talks with actor Billy Zane about his long and storied Hollywood career, which started with a small role in Back to the Future. Justin's candid interview style pulls out some unexpected stories from Billy, from his time on set in the new comedy series MacGruber, to his villainous role in the international blockbuster Titanic, which he admits he secretly played like a comedy, and of course you'll find out Billy Zane's favorite emoji. Fantastic. Other recent guests have included Alan Cummings, Deepak Chopra, and John Stamos. Listen to Life is Short with Justin Long on Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. All right, guys, let's talk about Athletic Greens. I've been taking Athletic Greens just about every day for about 3 weeks now, and I can definitely tell a difference. You might remember I was on a big weight loss kick leading up to the wedding, lost 60 pounds, and since then I gained about 15 of it back. But since then, I have dropped another 5 thanks to Athletic Greens. I take one dose right around noon in compliance with my intermittent fasting, and it keeps me satiated for several hours until dinner, and this stuff is working. All right? What is it? I don't know. No, it says I have copy here that explains what it is. Here's what it is. It's 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. Special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus, aging, all these things. And it's simple to use. It's not like those disgusting smoothies I used to do where I'd have to buy all this produce and rinse it and chop it and throw it in the blender, then choke it down. It's a powder. They even gave me the nice little shaker with it. You throw a pack of this powder into the shaker. You add 8 to 12 ounces of water. Give it a good shake. No blender involved. Boom. As someone who doesn't put a lot of great stuff into their body, when I do, I can feel it immediately, and I can tell that this stuff is working. Like I said, just a few weeks, I've already lost 5 pounds just from this. I'm not really doing a ton other than that yet. I'm easing back into the healthy lifestyle, but I figure this is the first step. This is literally the least I can do. Athletic Greens is lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, whatever. Contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything. Plus, it tastes good. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into flu and cold season. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your own health. Something as simple as just one serving a day is going to make a difference. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens has given you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/boogie. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/boogie to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/boogie. Hey, it's me, Dave. You know I like to cook, but sometimes there's just not enough time. What a quandary. Sometimes there's not enough time to cook a complete meal from scratch. That's why you might want to look into HelloFresh. What is HelloFresh? Well, with HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You can skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. The new year is a great time to focus on what's most important to you, whether it's saving money by ordering less takeout, learning to cook, or prioritizing your wellness. HelloFresh is here to help you with endless options to make cooking at home simple and enjoyable. HelloFresh cuts back on time spent in the kitchen so you can spend it on your other resolutions with meals ready in around 30 minutes. Plus, quick and easy meals, including 20-minute recipes and low prep and easy cleanup options, provide an even faster route to putting food on the table. HelloFresh is 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality, and you can save on average over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. That's more money to put toward those other 2022 goals of yours. Go to HelloFresh.com/Boogie16 and use code Boogie16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's code Boogie16, Boogie16. For up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh.com/Boogie16.
Oh boy, buddy. But that was the old heavy metal cruise.
Well, good, man. I'm glad it went well.
And then, yeah, I got stuck in a Houston airport. Not stuck, but like my flight was at 6:30. I'm like, all right. I didn't realize I was going to get there at 10:30 after getting off this boat.
Oh, and, wow.
What a dumb airport. I mean, airports are like Houston. I like drinking at an airport. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, like every single restaurant and bar just had iPads.
Huh.
And it was like the shittiest version of the Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
Like where people already look at the Matrix as like, oh, what a horrible future. Somebody, goddamn, I wish I could remember who had a tweet. I think it was like Barbara Gray or somebody. I was like, Matrix looks awesome. Hell yeah, plug me in. Just eat and dream the whole time? Why not? Like, yeah, I think I would definitely be on that side of the Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah, blue pill the shit out of me. Let me just fucking feed me. Let me just have some dreams. But yeah, so this airport, everything was an iPad. And just sitting there, and I would put it down on the table in front of me, and like the server came back and put it up properly in front of me. Like, I don't want to look at this.
Yeah.
The irony being, I'm already looking at my phone. I don't need your iPad.
Why did
but it
she?
It was just so impersonal. I think she thought maybe like, oh, because, I don't know. Yeah. Then the other guy put it back up. He's like, I'll turn it around for you. I think they just didn't want it face down on the counter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so. Did you get airport drunk?
I got airport buzzed. I mean, for how long I was there. Mm-hmm. You'd think I would have gotten drunk, but I'd been drinking so many Coors Light. I'd been drinking buckets of Coors Light for days. So mm-hmm.
What's the longest you've ever been at the airport?
Mm.
You done 12 hours? I think I did 12 hours one time, just due to delays.
I know I had to sleep over at an airport, and I think I was in Scotland or something.
Hmm.
I don't remember how. I remember it was like an overnight. Like, nah, I'm just by myself. I'm just bundled up on my bags.
Yeah.
But at this point, I don't even know. I'll have now that I'm just doing clubs and flying all the time again. Sure to hear some horror stories out of me. I'll try to keep them brief. Nobody needs another comedian bitching about the airport.
Yeah.
But I like being in an airport bar, even though. Like I said before, Rachel and I, we have like this credit card, joint credit card, I think allows us to get into some of the lounges. I never like doing it because it's just boring mm-hmm. up there.
Yeah, I've never been
it's
in
just
one
people
of those.
On laptops and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. What's the I'd appeal? You get complimentary drinks or what?
There's snacks. I don't know if the drinks are free, but there's like food, and it's supposed to be it's less riffraff. Like if you want to get some work done,
yeah,
and you got to there, that's sure. But like, I like being at bar. Like I don't even need to be social. I just like eavesdropping.
Yeah,
an airport bar is a great place for that because it's everybody kind of meeting each other and spilling the beans, and they don't have to worry about it because they're flying. So there's no like, oh, I better be polite. I'm in front of a coworker. Everybody just dumps out their thoughts.
Yeah.
Gets on their planes to wherever. I'm like, that's great listening. That's great research.
Mm-hmm.
And with everybody with an iPad in front of them, like that, when the bartender wasn't talking to anybody, automatic gratuity included for me ordering my own garbage food through an iPad that made me sick.
Yeah.
Texas, not doing much to win me over.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I like Austin, but I mean, I've enjoyed my time in Dallas and Houston. But
had a good time in Dallas, sure.
Got a speeding ticket, man, little podunk town one time, and just arguing with some dipshit deputy, and just going in circles. Like now, like long story short, I was in a speed trap, but. I was before the sign that said 35. I was like 100 yards before that going 47. Mm. And the guy's like, "Ah, 35. I'm like, what's the point of the sign being up there if the last sign I saw was 45? You know, aren't I still in the 45 zone till I cross the goal line of that sign?
Yeah, the threshold.
Yeah. And he's like, "Nah." Started, I was like, well, you need to fucking move your signs. And then I paid the fucking stupid ticket. This happened. This was on my trip out to L.A. when I was leaving Atlanta, driving to L.A. Mm-hmm. I had stopped in Austin to do some shows. And then I was leaving Austin trying to get back to the 10 or whatever. But what was my point? I paid the stupid ticket. And 10 years later, I'm still getting notices from debt collectors saying that I still owe them $32. And I'm like, hey, asshole, I paid what the fucking ticket said. Now you're trying to milk me for $32 more. This has been going on about twice a year. I get a notice from this thing that happened in 2012. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not paying that.
You got warrants out in Texas.
I guess, yeah.
And deputies down there. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Austin, Dave, what's your opinion on the Joe Rogan, Neil Young Spotify debacle?
Oh, man, I really could care less. I like Neil Young. Big fan. Big fan. Yeah, we haven't talked about Rogan, but I think, like most things, he's not as great as some people think and not as bad as other people think, you know?
Yeah.
He's not the buffoon that some people want to make him out to be, and he's not the genius some of his fans want to make him out to be. But, I mean, yeah, that's an interesting subject in terms of like what are podcasters responsible for, what liability do we hold, you know? It's like we say all the time on this show, if you're coming to us for the facts or for news, that's on you, dumbass.
I get confused when people think it's a free speech issue. It's like, no, Neil Young is protesting, not the best guy. Like, either he goes or I go. Well, yeah. We all saw what that answer was going to be. The
dude, of course.
The one guy they actually paid money to?
Yeah. Yeah.
Versus the rest of us who get fuck squat out of him? Of course that's the result. Mm-hmm. And I don't like my shit got taken down from Spotify. I still use Spotify, and I'm in the process of getting rid of that. And somebody just posted a solution. I know on the Reddit, people are talking about solutions. There also are apps that can take all your playlists from one service and copy them into another. So I think that's my big thing is like, oh, I'm going to forget all these things that I like marked that I want to listen to and all that. Mm-hmm. So I'll do that. I don't know which other one I got to read into it. But I feel a little bit hypocritical still. Not hypocritical, but kind of like a chump if I'm still paying. I'm a cuck because I ate that soup from the New York Times recipe. Mm-hmm. And now I keep paying Daddy Spotify.
Yeah, that's what happens to cucks.
Even though Daddy Spotify doesn't love me. That's what happens to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like people are like, it's fucking, they want to censor. It's like, it's not censoring. It's artists protesting some bullshit.
Yeah.
And like I got my heat where I was like, put my shit up about, like, fuck anybody that supports Alex Jones. Like, oh, so you think he shouldn't have a platform? Like, no, I just think fuck anybody who supports that guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. I never said the government should stop him from talking. Mm-hmm. I would think common sense and intelligence would stop people from giving him a platform.
Yeah.
But if you're relying on common sense and intelligence from the population right now, you're shit out of luck. Free speech is there to defend the stupid people just as much as the smart people.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the stupid people have a much bigger megaphone right now.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Yeah. I think that's well said when you're like, you know, he's not as bad as people think, not as good as people think. I think he gives a platform to some voices that I don't think deserve the attention that they get. And I think him, whether he wants to admit it or not, him hosting them gives them a sense of credibility that they don't deserve. Hence the Alex Jones thing. I would think a decent person would be like, this guy sucks. I'm not going to give him my audience's ears.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to wonder what his motivation is. Because, you know, and I don't know the guy, but he's
Being the most popular podcast in the world is probably his motivation.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's already that. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You know. Is he doing, does he have people like Alex Jones on? Is it strictly for... I mean, I guess I'm being naive here, but I just would assume that there's something other than just, oh, this is going to get a lot of views and listens and downloads. But now I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, well, so you got all these comics that, like, oh, comics just want the truth, but then they don't want to speak out against Joe Rogan because, God forbid, you could be on Joe Rogan and it'll change your career as a comedian.
Yeah.
But we said that's the irony of being on there. It's like, oh, you could be on there and then win over that fan base of very loyal dudes that if you decide to show any kind of dissension against that belief structure that they're all, you know, that, like, oh, they'll go against you and then you're a piece of shit to this whole, or, yeah, you either win a bunch of Joe Rogan fans or you piss off a bunch of Joe Rogan fans. It's a lose-lose situation as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know, but people like bro comedy is very popular right now.
Yeah.
Bro evidently. Comedy. Let me tell you how it is out there kind of comedy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how the fucking world is. Take it from me. You know,
well,
I know the
up.
Truth. No, you don't. You're a 24-year-old stand-up comic. You don't know fucking anything.
Also, get the fuck off the stool.
Oh, God.
Get the fuck off
Let me sit down because, God, the weight of my knowledge is giving me lower back problems.
Fucking perform.
I gotta sit on a stool, give you the truth.
Stand up and memorize your fucking jokes. Get
this
off the stool.
Ton of the truth.
Stop staring at your scrolling through your fucking phone. Ugh.
Well, anyway, that's yeah, but I think he has. Is it his fault that he's got a popular show and he's hosted these? People like, you know, like he said, he's like, well, now he's like, I'll try and be more responsible, have more even keeled guests on there. It's like, but you've got to, it's Fox News. You got to, or CNN. You got to play to your fan base. You're selling a product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, news has to sell ads.
Yeah.
To sell ads, to get money, more money for those ads, you got to appeal to your fan base. So you just start saying the shit that you need to say. To get that side riled up.
Mm-hmm.
When it's sports or entertainment, that's one thing. But when it's what's dangerous about the news is like, oh, we're just trying to sell ads. You shouldn't. You're the news.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan he's entertainment for entertainment purposes only. And the guy, I guess, I don't listen to it, but, you know, being an eternally curious individual should make for a good interviewer, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't listen to him. I see his clips on YouTube. I scroll through YouTube a lot and look at weird stuff. And, you know, he did a smart thing. I'm sure, I don't know if he was the first one to do this, but, you know, just to cut up his stuff into clips where you can just see little 3-minute segments and stuff like that. And I catch those every now and then if it's, you know, something interesting. But, I'm pretty empathetic towards it. I could care less one way or the other. I don't dislike him, but he's also, you know, now stand-up, so don't get me started on the stand-up. That's a whole other thing. Just wouldn't walk across the street to watch a stand-up, but that's just me.
There's like a whole crew. Like, there's like a lot. There's bro comedy is very popular. The podcast Rat Pack that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Attitude. You know. Bad Tude Boys.
Yeah. Bad Tude Boys.
Get me some fingerless gloves.
Fucking.
Crank up the tude.
Truthful Tony and the Let Me Tell You How It Is gang.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Nope. I watched some movies. I watched three movies this week.
Three
whole movies. I don't know where to begin. Two of them I liked. One I fucking hated. And maybe I'm being too harsh.
I want to start with the ones you liked.
Saw this movie called Lamb. You heard about Lamb?
Nope.
It's very strange. It's a very simple story.
Do you think it was going to be about food?
No. I saw the trailer lured me in. Really strange, but really interesting.
I'm sorry. Say lured.
It lured me in. I got lured.
Trailer done lured me in. I know that's how you say it. It lured me in. I like your accent, Dave, and it doesn't come out often enough. And then when a word does pop out, brings me joy, man.
Oh, boy.
All right. You done got caught.
I got lured in.
Got lured in.
Real strange movie, but intriguing. And I can't even tell you what it's about because I think that would spoil it. How can I? It's set in Iceland. Which I like. I want to go to Iceland. Is it Iceland or Iceland?
I think Iceland's better. I'm going to look up this movie.
Iceland. It sounds ridiculous. There's one scene. If anybody's seen this movie, there's a scene at the very end where like the story gets wrapped up where you're like, holy shit. There's a visual element where you're like, fuck yeah. So I don't know how to even describe it.
I can read the first sentence of the Wikipedia plot summation. It says, Iceland, a herd of horses is spooked by an unknown, loudly breathing entity that makes its way to a barn. Later, farmer Maria and her husband Ingvar are shocked to learn that one of their pregnant sheep has given birth to a bizarre... Will it spoil it if I say... Something bizarre.
I was going to say the H word.
Hybrid.
Yeah. Maybe that's hopefully that.
I'll leave it at that. I'm not even going to read more because there's much more to describing this plot. That was just really the first little paragraph.
But it's really well done. It's a foreign flick. They don't speak English, but the good news is there's very little dialogue. So it's not like one that you're just constantly having to read. I don't like to read my movies. but there's very little dialogue. But it's shot really well. It's pretty. It's in Iceland. On a sheep farm. But just a real slow burn. It's a real, it's not action-packed. It's not super dynamic. It's a simple story. It's a slow burn, but I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And, the ending, maybe it could have been a little better, but still. Just, I'll put it this way. It was unique. It was original. I've never seen, any story like this. I mean, I'm sure maybe there's, similar stories out there in books and movies. But just a good slow burn, strange movie. Love some a good.
Quality I like a, weirdness. All right.
I like a strange movie that's still somewhat easy to follow. It's kind of how I feel about abstract comedy. I never liked abstract for the sake of being abstract. It still has to kind of have a point and make sense. Not just, I'm doing something nonsensical and weird.
Yeah.
But I think you might enjoy Lamb. And another one I really enjoyed, also very strange, fairly unique. Now, I hate movies with long titles, but... It's a movie called My Heart Can't Beat Unless You Tell It To. And this one, too, there's one word I could go to that could sum up this movie, but I feel like that might spoil it. I want people to be surprised by it. But three siblings live, it looks like it's somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, maybe Oregon. But three siblings, adult siblings, all live together. There's no mention of, you know, where their parents are, but three adult siblings live together, two brothers and a sister. And one of the brothers has a unique condition that requires the other two siblings to go out and, shall I say, feed his needs.
All right.
And really interesting. His condition or affliction, or whatever you want to call it, is interesting. And the way the other two siblings help him is very interesting. And again, it's kind of a slow burn, but a pretty movie, well shot, well directed, well acted. I don't know the other two siblings, but one of them is, I never say his name right, Patrick Fugit, almost famous guy. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Fugit. He's popped up in some stuff. He was the main character in Almost Famous, the young boy. The journalist. But really weird, but much like Lamb, kind of weird but simple. Like, not hard to follow along once you understand what's going on. But really enjoyed that. So check out Lamb. Check out My Heart Can't Beat Unless You Tell It To.
Okay.
And then the final movie I watched was the first movie I've seen in the movie theater in like 2 years. Went by myself to the theater midday. Had some popcorn and a Mr. Pibb, and oh boy, how I've missed you, popcorn and Mr. Pibb. Love movie theater popcorn.
We know you do. We discussed you going independently just to buy some popcorn.
That's true. That's true. Sorry for the noise. We got a maintenance man out back cranking up some power tools. All right. I went and saw Licorice Pizza.
Okay.
And I fucking hated it.
All right.
I
mean,
a lot of good reviews, a lot of people talking about this movie. I thought, all right, it's one of the first movies in a long time I've even wanted to go see in the theater. I guess, you know, with COVID and everything, it kind of slowed down production, obviously. But there hasn't been any new releases that have made me be like, I got to go see that. But, man, Paul Thomas Anderson, I know he's beloved. But now that I think about it, now keep in mind, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. All right, I've gone on record. I'm not a movie critic. There's a lot of stuff going on in film that goes that maybe I don't recognize. It goes over my head, whatever. I know I've always, I guess you could say I've been a fan of Paul Thomas Anderson, but if I think about it, he's got more movies I dislike than movies I like. I fell asleep at The Master. Fucking hated that movie. I know people love There Will Be Blood. It bored the shit out of me. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just not smart enough to understand why that's a brilliant movie. I love Daniel Day-Lewis, and I thought the acting was great. Paul Dano. That movie never. It's not like, ooh, I can't wait to see that again. Even one Magnolia. Like, I've seen that a lot. Anyway, this is one of those movies, and I know this is very novice approach, but nothing happens. It's a whole bunch of nothing. It's a big bowl of who gives a shit. And it's so disjointed. Just these things happen to these characters that just, oh, we're doing this now. Well, what about the other plot line? Don't worry about that. He's doing this. Oh, and now he's doing this. And then, like, it's just, it's. I guess it's a coming-of-age tale. I didn't give, none of the characters were particularly likable. I didn't give a shit about what happened to him. And the story, it was just a whole bunch of nothing. And then, as is the trend recently, the ending just, we're tired. We're gonna wrap this up now. Nothing got resolved. Just, all right, wrap it up. I hated it. I sat there just like, what is this? You know, and I was just mad that It's like, I know this has gotten good reviews. I know people have said they liked it. I know Paul Thomas Anderson's a beloved director, but I'm like, what am I missing? This is fucking boring. And I don't think it's
What's
one of
it
those.
About?
Great question. No fucking idea. No, what it's about, it's about these. All right. The main character, which I didn't realize at the time, Paul, what's his name? Philip Seymour Hoffman's real life son plays the main character. And I forgot his name, but it's somebody Hoffman. But he's a teenage boy, probably 15, 16. I think his character is supposed to be 15. And they live in the valley. It takes place in the 70s, I think the late 70s, no, early 70s, because there's a lot of Nixon stuff. Probably 72, 73 in the San Fernando Valley. Mm-hmm. If people are not familiar, it's the northern suburbs of Los Angeles, basically. And I guess that's where Paul Thomas Anderson grew up, as a lot of his movies take place there. Magnolia, oh, yeah. Boogie Nights, all that. But so this kid, he's just this goofy kid. And, you know, he's, I guess, an, you know, interesting enough kid, but he's a, his character is like a child actor, kind of a fading child actor, like not a superstar, but, you know, was on some sitcoms and shows up in commercials. So he's semi-famous for a 15-year-old, and he's in high school, and then he meets this 25-year-old lady who is played by, I forgot her name, but she and her sisters are in a band with Haim.
Okay.
Those girls. But yeah, so the
Ooh,
the
Benny Safdie's in it.
The is he one of the Safdie brothers? Oh, that's who that was. I know who he is now. When I was watching that character, I was like, where do I know that face? And he played the guy running for mayor. Okay. Anyway, so he meets the 15-year-old meets this woman, the real life actress could pass for 15 or 16, but I guess her character, God damn it. Can you hear that? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but we're at the tail end. I could talk for a little while. Well, I'll say, I do you ever get to the point where you realize this movie is not, is it a bad movie, or I am just not the audience for this movie?
Well, that's what I was about to say.
That's how I am with movies. I've realized that I'm like, oh, this is not, I feel bad making a strong opinion about any kind of art or anything creative.
Yeah, and I do too.
It's unless it's like stand up where I could be like, oh, that's a weird way to phrase that.
Yeah.
That, but even then, it's truly is all subjective, and I've used to be such an opinionated asshole about so much stuff, and I realize like, oh, those people are insufferable to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Also, but it's also boring to be like, well, I guess some people may enjoy it, but it's not necessarily like that's not. There's a lot of times like I don't like this movie. Maybe it's not for me, but here's where I think it sucks.
Yeah.
And with Rachel having gone to film school, sometimes she'll be like, well, actually, what you're not realizing is the way they're setting this up for later. And then that, I'm like, oh, you have a sharper eye to watch these things.
Of course. And that's why I give the caveat that I don't know what I'm talking about, because I'm sure there's a lot of that going on that maybe I'm just not appreciating or recognizing. But I don't think it's one of those, well, this isn't for me, because, I mean, Paul Thomas Anderson, he's of our generation. He's a little older than us. But, you know, it's not like this is marketed towards 12-year-olds and I'm like, this sucks because I'm 44. Like, you know, theoretically, we're of his audience, a demographic, but it was just, I just get, it seemed, and again, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but it reeked of precious little auteur. Like, I'm a precious little filmmaker, and I don't have to resolve conflicts, and I don't have to explain myself. And yes, all that's true, but boy, to the average dude like me, it sure does make for a boring fucking movie. Like, I wish I was smart enough to appreciate whatever this movie's trying to do. But anyway, 15-year-old, first of all, no one addresses the fact that it's kind of a love story between a 15-year-old and a 25-year-old. That's never brought up in the story. They're like, hey, I'm too old for you. And now looking back, I don't even know if there was a romantic element, but there was definitely an attempt at some sort of romantic connection between the two main characters. But it's just, so this guy, this kid, he's a industrious, smart little 15-year-old, and he's an actor, and then now he's an entrepreneur. I'm going to start selling water beds, and hey, and then out of nowhere, she's going to go start working for a mayoral campaign, and it's just none of the stories, none of the plot lines really connected or had any point or anything interesting. it was just, look at these smart young people in the 70s. Just, mm-hmm. just a whole bunch of fucking nothing. And then there's weird cameo. Bradley Cooper is in it for like two scenes. His character role is incredibly unlikable. Sean Penn's in it for a few scenes. Pfft, whatever. Like, it's just, there was nothing you could sink your teeth into. It was like going out to dinner and it's just a bunch of bullshit appetizers. It's like, y'all got anything I can bite?
That's called tapas.
And yeah, people enjoy it's just it very a bunch much, of Dave. Shitty tapas.
You ever see that movie Good Time? That's the Safdie brothers.
I did see that. I enjoyed that. I thought that was pretty good.
It was great. Yeah, I'm just looking at there. Since they have Good Time, excellent. Mm-hmm. Uncut Gems, thought it was a fucking turd.
See, I enjoyed Uncut Gems more than I enjoyed this, because at least it was about something. At least there was conflict and resolution.
All that needed to happen in Uncut Gems was one character had to let another character finish a sentence, and there would have been no need for any of the horse shit that happened in that movie.
Yeah.
All it was like, what if people interrupt each other and then don't get the information they need to move forward? That's like every time I'm like, just shut the fuck up and let this other person finish talking, and you wouldn't have any problems in your life ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That one pissed me off. Like that, like the whole movie was like, just interrupt each other.
Yeah.
It's the only way we can move forward is if you interrupt each other and then don't hear the full story.
It's like
that one I hated. That one I had a strong opinion about.
Really? No, I
fucking hated that movie.
I remember a lot of people didn't like that movie because of how anxious it was supposed to make the viewer. I guess it was purposely designed to just keep you on edge the whole time.
I was just like, oh, all these people suck.
Mm-hmm.
All these people just don't know how to listen. Therefore, I see why everything's shit for your life is because you don't listen to somebody else. Yeah. I don't need to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care about these characters enough to see them learn a lesson or see some resolution. Your problem is you're just shitty. You just don't know how to listen. That's it. The first 5 minutes. Oh, you don't know how to listen. Well, mm-hmm. that's the basis of this whole movie.
Yeah.
That's what I get. But again, maybe if I rewatched it and put that aside and I got like, cause you know how you watch a movie and then you get hooked on something, you start to not like it. And then you just don't like the movie. Mm-hmm. Even if it starts to become a good movie, you already get set in the idea that like, I'm not going to like this.
Yeah.
I'll do that to myself.
Yeah. I was fighting that.
Like I'll be in a bad mood. Yeah. I'll be out somewhere. I'm like, I don't like this bar. And then I'll find a bunch of reasons to not like what's going on around me.
Yeah. And I was fighting that. And it's, but I went into it wanting to like it, obviously, or else I wouldn't have paid movie to get out and go see it. You know, I had my popcorn, I had my soda, I'm ready. Okay. You know, I'm not the
his
biggest.
Popcorn and his drink.
I'm
ready
here.
To be happy.
I'm on board, you know, and I wanted to like it because it made me question it now, but like, I guess I like Paul Thomas Anderson. I guess. I mean, Boogie Nights was fine. Magnolia was a little long and convoluted, but I know he's highly regarded. I'm like, all right, let's see what his new one's about. And it just, as minute passed, I was just like, oh God, like I just, none of the characters were likable. I didn't give a shit what they happened. And then it wasn't about anything. And I understand there's abstract movies. I understand slice of life and coming of age and all that shit. But still, would it kill you to give me something to hang on to? We're just mm-hmm. watching, like, there was no objective, there was no mission, there was no, it's just like, so the teenager selling waterbeds, and she's working for the mayor, and she likes him, but he doesn't like her, and vice versa.
Involved in the characters?
No.
You weren't involved in their lives?
Didn't give a fuck. Didn't give a shit.
It's that time of year again, New Year's. It's that time of year where we make those resolutions about dropping weight, answering our mom's calls, staying in touch with friends. It always feels like the perfect time to refocus on what we want in life. But it's easy to get stuck looking back on all of the resolutions we didn't keep last year. This year, there's one resolution I am definitely keeping, and that's making my mental health a priority. Make it part of your daily routine with Talkspace. Talkspace personally matches you with a licensed therapist you could connect with right from your phone or computer. I've been in therapy for years, but it's always been so challenging to find the right person. I've bounced around to different therapists, and it's always, does this one take my insurance? Is this one close to my house? With Talkspace, you can do it from the comfort of your own home. Listen, everyone could use someone to talk to. I personally deal with some anxiety, and my problem at night is those racing thoughts that I can't turn off. I'm up all hours of the night thinking about everything that everyone ever said to me, and how am I going to get through this? My therapist at Talkspace taught me some really awesome breathing techniques that help me calm my mind, calm my body, and give me a more restful sleep. Connecting with a licensed therapist on Talkspace can help you feel better, and it's secure. No one's going to hear what you say, and that's the best part. Let all that talk fly. Unlike traditional therapy, Talkspace fits your schedule, not the other way around. Talkspace treats your privacy and security as their top priority. You get access to private virtual room with just you and your therapist. You can send your therapist messages 24/7 and get replies throughout the day. No need to wait for that weekly appointment. You owe it to yourself to make mental health a priority this year. And Talkspace makes it easy to keep. Visit Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month when you use promo code STARBURNS at signup. That's STARBURNS. That's $100 off at Talkspace.com, promo code STARBURNS.
Since we're coming to the wrap up of this episode, Dave, and we're speaking of art that we don't understand.
Yes.
there was some paintings on the boat. There's an art gallery on the boat by an artist named Michael Godard.
Okay.
Now, if you're familiar, I didn't realize it's a whole thing, his style. I was telling Rachel, like, I didn't understand. There's all this art, and it was just olives. They were olives doing stuff.
Okay.
Like the M&Ms,
uh-huh,
but olives. And she's like, oh, that's a whole thing.
I'm looking it up right now. Okay.
It's a rock star artist. Man, you know what rock stars need to do more of is express themselves.
Yeah. If only you had a platform,
Las Vegas native Michael Godard, right there, should discredit you from being an artist.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the most exciting artists. Okay, let me tell you my introduction to this.
He looks like Nikki Sixx cosplay.
Yeah, Orville and I were walking down one of the like hallways on the boat. We get to this part, and I can't tell what's going on because it's clearly a depiction of the soldiers raising the flag at Iwo Jima.
Okay.
But it's not soldiers. It's squashed down. I thought it was green M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. It was olives wearing military fatigues.
Hmm.
Olive drab, if you will. With helmets on. The olives are raising, and then there's an eagle that's sad in the background.
Oh.
I don't know if it's sad, but it's looking down. It's not a proud eagle. It's looking down. So pensive, contemplative, I don't know.
Hmm.
But I saw that, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Everybody's all rah-rah America, do not disrespect the troops. And this guy painted cocktail olives raising the flag.
That's bizarre.
On Iwo Jima,
mm-hmm,
as a tribute.
Yeah.
And then all the art around was this other shit with just horny olives hanging out. I And this dude just paints olives. Just doing stuff.
Yeah.
Here's one. There's a strawberry in a shoe with champagne being. And the strawberry has arms and legs, so it's swimming in some champagne in a shoe. And the olive is in the background holding his pockets out like, I'm broke. Like, wow. It's something. Now you want to type like, am I missing? Is the art community kind of like, this is on purpose tasteless, and that's why it's kind of funny? Is it like, you know, who's the? Is it like a Bridget Everett thing where, like, as comedians, we know she's being over the top as a bawdy nightclub act, and that's why it's hilarious? Like, are there artists being like, like Rachel put it, she's like, no, this is not Andy Warhol level shit. Mm-hmm. That's how she put it. Because clearly, if the guy looks like Nikki Six, he thinks this is like, what if olives were doing stuff? Like, what if there was an olive, but he's James Bond, and he's next to an old Jaguar?
Yeah, what if?
But he's like an olive. And it's expensive.
Really?
It's expensive art. Oh, yeah. Let me find up Iwo Jima olives. I'm looking it up. Iwo Jima olive painting. Hold on. Painting. Where'd it go? Now it's not on here. Oh, well, because olive, because it just goes to the color. Olive, because the color of the uniforms. Hold on. Sorry, forgive me, listeners. Michael Godard, Iwo Jima. Jesus Christ. Okay, here's on his website. This piece is called For Those Who Gave All. And it has a depiction of the Vietnam Memorial Wall with the names of veterans who've died.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. Oh, those are supposed to be olives?
What you... they're not people.
Well, their lower half looks human.
They have legs and arms, but then in the torso, in the top part of the uniform,
there's
just a large bulbous olive.
Yeah, wearing his helmet.
And then the eagle is sad. Yeah, he's got a helmet. The olives are wearing helmets, raising the thing over Iwo Jima. Which isn't Iwo Jima World War II?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it's just a general... it's a general cocktail olive salute to the troops. So it's covering all the battles.
Oh boy.
And this is now, Dave, just for how much would you expect to pay just for not the actual painting, but
something out of a van,
a print
At a flea market, a print.
Yeah. How much would you expect to pay?
$30
a limited edition print.
$30-$40 I don't know.
$30 I'm going to need you to go up on that price by about $1,500.
No way. $1,500 for a print of this?
Signed limited edition. 60 inches wide by 24 inches tall. So it's 2x5. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not a big art guy. I mean, I appreciate it, but I don't know anything about it.
This guy looks like a pickup artist. He looks like maybe given the nature of Chris Angel stunts, like one Chris Angel dies a year.
Yeah.
Like how they have multiple pigeons for the tricks that they just have to have. Like, Vegas has multiple Chris Angels.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's going to try something dumb, and he's going to die. He's going to get crushed between revolving doors. We got to have another Chris Angel on hand.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Yeah, man, this is something else.
Now, I mean, I'm not above like absurd art. You've seen that movie, Royal Tenenbaums?
Sure.
Do you ever notice the scene when they go, I guess there's a few scenes where they're over at Owen Wilson's apartment and he's got these oil paintings on the wall and they're so bizarre. It's like a bunch of guys on four wheelers wearing like wolf masks, like a, you know, circled around another guy. Just really eye catching, interesting, like just clearly, I'm assuming, meant to be absurd art. You know, yeah. Shit like that, you know, I find that interesting. But just something like this, also where you can tell, like, I mean, is this parody or is he just flat out pandering? Like, patriotic art. Ugh.
But then I don't know. Like, this is the thing where I think it's stupid, but do I not know? I don't know enough about this world. Like, somebody just hearing a Cannibal Corpse song.
Mm-hmm.
That has no idea about the genre of death metal or anything like this is stupid.
Yeah, of course.
But then if you're in that scene, you could tell a difference between this band and that band and why this band is better than this band. And the, you know, like, you know, when you're in that scene, I'm not in the world of Las Vegas, goth clown art. So maybe this is revered amongst other people in Las Vegas.
Why he's got, olives?
Now some of the olives are painters themselves. He's painted Dali, Salvador Dali, mm-hmm. as an olive, and it's just an olive with a long mustache standing in front of Salvador Dali paintings. He's got Picasso as an olive. The olive has a little striped shirt. Also off-putting is that because the pimento opening is at the top. It does look like they're. It's just the exposed brains of these olives. Like they've had some trepanation done on their skulls, yeah. and they have exposed brains.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think olives? The more I look at it, the more I think I get it.
Okay, what
the more
what
I think
getting?
I want this. That I want this art.
Are the olives a metaphor? Is it symbolism?
No. No, really like this the guy olives? Is not.
Or is it just because they're probably easier to draw and paint?
I think that's it. I think he's just got a lot of green paint. Let me read about Michael Godard here. Let's find out. I'm sorry we did not get to the subject.
Pretty interesting time.
Yeah, you sent me that. Like, I want to talk about this. I'm like, this isn't going to last long at all.
We'll get to it next week.
Like I said bullshit to myself out loud in 20 seconds.
Oh my God.
This guy does not have a Wikipedia. He's got NFTs. We were going to talk about NFTs. We didn't get to it.
I don't know what the hell an NFT is. I've been trying to educate myself on that.
It's non-fungible.
Token.
Well, one Michael Godard. This guy's a tuba player. Not the same. Not the same Michael Godard. That is. Oh God. This guy looks. Oh my God. This is.
He looks.
Something.
He's got a little bit of a Nikki Sixx and a little bit of a Mick Mars. He's just going for all the guys in Motley Crue.
He's got. Like,
wait, Mick Mars, was he in Poison or Motley Crue? He was in Poison.
He is Motley Crue. He is the guy that's 1,000 years old. All right. Well, now he does raise money for St. Jude's. That's a nice thing. At least there's something in here. Yeah, can't find anything about the man himself. I believe he's reinvented himself and scrubbed the internet. A website called Splice Today has Michael Godard, worst artist in the world.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, that's on the first page. It says, not to mention the best-selling one. Well, I'm going to read about this. I'm going to get into this. I'm very curious about this. I was just astonished with this art showing up on the boat.
So was there more than one of them? Like his, he had a whole gallery there or something?
Yeah, it was just a bunch of olives doing doing a bunch of bullshit.
Huh.
Playing cards, going down water slides.
I bet he was probably on the boat. You could have probably hung out with
he
him.
Could, you know what? Brain. He might have been. He might have been, and I had no idea because he looked like 60% of the dudes on that boat. There's some dudes that had like so much like bangly jewelry and stuff. Rockstar, I'm like, you pack that? Like you checked a bag. You had to get a heavy tag for your checked bag just for your bracelets alone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was something.
Oh, boy.
All right, buddy.
What you got coming up? You're busy in February, right?
I'm back to work, baby.
Where you at?
This weekend, Providence, Rhode Island, the Comedy Connection. With that rascal Mike Malloy. Mike Malloy's coming with.
Cool.
I got Cincinnati. I got Omaha. I got Des Moines. That's just this month. I got the Renwick Mansion. I'm playing there, finally.
In really?
In Davenport, Iowa.
Yeah. Okay.
You been there yet?
No, I've heard about it, though.
Yeah, a bunch of people says real cool venue to play, so I'm finally going to be close enough to make it work out.
Well, hell yeah, buddy.
What about you, Dave?
Got some stuff coming up. Long Beach.
Any bookers lure you in?
I get lured in to a few shows. February 17th, Long Beach, the Bamboo Inn. April 14th, the Laughing Tap in Milwaukee. April 15th at North Bar in Chicago. Got those confirmed. Working on some other dates, maybe Cincinnati, maybe a few others. We'll see.
Folks on the Reddit have tried the mac and cheese ice cream. It's a divisive flavor.
I can't imagine that being good.
Well, one person said it was fantastic, and a lot of other people are so abhorred by it that I think they offered to bring you the leftovers to the Laughing Tap. They were so disgusted by it. So you can do that if you'd like to. I'm going to try it once I get the chance.
What's the point of that silly ice cream? There's plenty of good ice cream out there. We don't need.
You keep looking at
silly stuff. Fucking mac and cheese. How about just, I'll take some mac and cheese.
Here we go. User Shelly's Bone says 10 out of 10. It's delicious. And some people have been mail and order it. Okay, let's see what somebody just went, nah. Somebody ate it and said it was fucking horrible. And I want to find that mention of it. I want to find who was just that pissed off about having it be discussed. Now I don't know where it went, but it's in here somewhere. Yeah, that was a good one.
Well, hell yeah, buddy.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. You know, make your own decisions, though. Don't just rely on our opinions. We're wrong about stuff every single episode. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's us. Well, good times, buddy.
All right, man. Yeah, I'll watch this Lamb. I'll watch this. What was the other one? My heart can't beat.
My heart can't beat unless you tell it to. And I think that's on Prime, I think. But yeah, I think you might like that one. And yeah, I can't tell you what it's about or else it'll spoil it. But yeah, put it this way.
I'm getting an idea here.
Interesting take on an old story.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of another word.
Yeah, but I'm getting it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. All right. Also, new season of Ozark. Did you watch Ozark? You been into that?
You know what? I don't know why that would take so much flack. People are like, pit. Like, I see all these jokes about Ozark proves people will watch anything or something. I liked it. I enjoyed Ozark. I will watch that.
Yeah. I don't know what people could have. I'm not saying it's the best show ever, but man, it's pretty good.
Let's look at the flip side when you've enjoyed something that's universally disliked.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know why. I'm fine with this. Is it just an easy thing to hate on? I don't know. It's just a soap opera, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I mowed through I guess they're doing season 4. They're dropping it in two parts. So they dropped part one last week. I don't know, 6 episodes, 8 episodes, something like that. But yeah, big fan of that. So yeah, enjoyed that. The other than that, just hanging out, man. Just hanging out, researching.
He just hanging out, man.
Researching Nobody's NFTs. Out here hanging out. Trying to get in on this NFT boom. You know, it sounds insane. I got lured
in by these NFTs.
I don't know anything about it, but the knee-jerk reaction is, what the fuck is this? You know, this is stupid. But, like, if you think about it, like, someone from another planet would come down here and you hand them a $100 bill. Be like, what the fuck is this? It's a piece of paper. You know?
Yeah, I think the idea is that somebody would be like, oh, I'll give you all this stuff for that $100 bill. Where is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that is the point.
But yeah, nobody's giving you shit for your NFT.
Maybe we'll get
as
into
of
that.
Now, but people are betting that this. I love the idea that all this crypto. It's like, oh, it's a way to move away from the banks. Great, but it's also incredibly volatile and like, hey, let's stumble through that one next week, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've been researching a lot of weird stuff like that. Oh man, I'm just now dipping my toes into the metaverse. You've been hearing about this metaverse. Boy,
oh boy!
All this shit makes me feel so old.
Metaverse,
you're about this metaverse.
Shit, I am excited for next week's episode already. I figured out NFTs. You hear about this metaverse?
Oh, I feel so old. Like it's so foreign to me. Like, what the fuck are y'all talking about?
But, yeah,
it's the future. I guess we better get on board or get left behind, Kyle.
Guess that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, oh, God. I'll figure it all out by next week, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. No, I expect a very comprehensive, well thought out. Take a look at both sides. Now we're not like Joe Rogan. We don't look at either side of the argument. We don't even take one-sided approaches to these things.
Nope. Oh boy. All right, buddy. Welcome back to dry land.
Thanks, man.
You hold it in the road, and we'll holler at you next week.
All right. Sounds good. Talk to you later, man.
The Boogie Monster. Bye.